listening to the Bible 126 show.
My name is Mono Gonzalez. If you don't know me, I'm the co-host at Prophecy Watchers, and I've had the opportunity certainly to interview Tim on a variety of occasions. And for those that are watching by film, you can go to birthrightconference.com where you can get access to the Vimeo after all this is over, as well as the lectures and even all the podcasts. So don't forget about that. But Tim, good to see you.
Great to be with you, Mondo, live in Nashville, Tennessee.
Exactly. You know, one of the things that our audience is very interested in, and I would love to get your thoughts on it, because, you know, here we are. It's a very awesome title. We're talking about transhumanism, aliens, UFOs, and Bible prophecy. As a pastor, a lot of times I saw in the church, I love the church, I know you do too, where people would look maybe at a title like this and go, how is that even relevant to the gospel? I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
All of those topics are exceedingly relevant to the gospel, because the gospel of Christ pertains to the offspring of Adam. Christ didn't die for the angels. He died for human beings. He became a man to redeem mankind. And so it's the heart of the gospel. And so because we're on the verge of becoming something other than mankind, it's the most important question we need to be contemplating today. And that was not true decades ago. Decades ago, other generations did not have to contemplate the questions that we have to deal with today, which bear directly on the gospel of Christ. And so I think the most important thing for a believer is to understand what the gospel actually means, what it is, because it's not, the gospel is not about social justice. It's not about you having a great life on earth. It's not about you being successful. The gospel of Christ is about the redemption, the reconciliation, and the restoration of the sons and daughters of Adam back into the family of God.
Yeah. I think often, too, maybe you guys have this perspective or thought, is that, you know, we see the gospel and we see Jesus, again, dying for humanity, but we forget that when you come to the gospels, Jesus, when he starts his ministry, is immediately confronted by who? I mean, and talk a little bit about the spiritual realm as it relates to Jesus's mission.
Are you talking about the temptation of Christ?
Well, there in the demonic onslaught.
Right, exactly. So yeah, and it's very interesting, because a lot of people don't realize that the Gospels are a verification of the Book of Enoch, because Jesus shows up on the scene, and of course we know that Jesus is the King of Heaven. He is the King of Heaven, and he was before he became a man. And so when Jesus shows up on the earth and he starts, you know, walking around and preaching the good news of the kingdom, the demons start going crazy wherever he shows up. And it's interesting that Jesus tells them to be silent, to not tell anybody who he is. And they recognized him. The demons recognized Christ when the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't, when the keepers of the law could not recognize that the Son of God was walking in their midst. The great judge was among them. But the demons recognized that Jesus was the great judge, because, and you know, without the Book of Enoch in the background, it's very difficult to understand this, because why were the demons screaming out, crying out whenever Jesus was in their midst? And what did they say? We know who you are. You Son of God, we know who you are. And Jesus would tell them to be silent, because the testimony of Christ was not supposed to come from demons. The testimony of Christ, according to the prophecies, was supposed to come through the works, the miracles that he would perform. That's why Jesus said to the people, if you don't believe me for what I say, at least believe me for the things I have done. In other words, for the miraculous things that he did, because that was the verification, the stamp of authenticity of the Son of God, was that he fulfilled the prophecies that were spoken of him, and that he was able to perform these miracles. And casting out demons was one of them. And so the demons would howl and scream with distress when they saw Jesus. Why? Because they saw that the king, the judge, was walking on the earth. And that wasn't supposed to happen yet, according to them. Because in the Book of Enoch, the demons are sentenced that part of their judgment is that they will wander the earth bodiless, basically as bodiless vagabonds, as wraiths with all the desires of the flesh, but without bodies of flesh through which to fulfill their desires. It is a curse. And it's very interesting because this same curse is played out in a lot of movies. If you notice, like Pirates of the Caribbean, what was the curse of the pirates who took the Mayan gold? Exactly the same thing, that they would be deathless, they would wander the earth hungry and thirsty. Remember the Barbossa wanted to eat the apple, but he couldn't. That was his curse. Well, that is the curse of the Nephilim, of the offspring of the Watchers. And attached to that curse was that this is going to be your condition until the day of judgment, when the great judge appears to judge the world. And so they saw the judge, and they recognized him, and they said, "Why have you come to torment us before the appointed time?" So they knew two things. They knew who the judge was, and they knew that it wasn't yet the appointed time for judgment. So even as they're, you know, Jesus, even as the Pharisees and Sadducees are doubting Christ, the demons know exactly who he is.
Talk about the imagery that you mentioned, that they describe him as the Son of God, and how that connects into the Divine Council, which I know you've certainly wrote about in Birthright. They understood the Divine Council. Here was the head of the Divine Council.
Yeah, presides over the council. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those who are familiar with Michael Heiser's work and others, there's the Bible describes it's a kingdom, right? When we say the kingdom of heaven, I think sometimes the word kingdom gets lost, right? We just think like kingdom of heaven is like a spiritual concept or something like that. No, it's a kingdom. It is a kingdom. I like to refer to it as an empire. People get mad at me when I do that, but an empire is just. It's like a kingdom rules over a region. An empire rules over many regions, and many kings and princes and potentates are subject to the emperor. That's really what the kingdom is. Why? How do I know that? Because the Bible talks about princes. Princes. In fact, I talk about this a little bit tomorrow, a principality, we all think that a principality is an entity, is a demonic entity, but in reality, a principality is a realm governed by a prince. And so there are princes in the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus is the king. In fact, Daniel calls him the prince of princes, but he's also the king of kings, the lord of lords. That's why he has many crowns when he comes, when John sees him returning to the earth with King of Kings and Lord of Lords written on his thigh, and he has many diadems on his head. See, he is the king of all kings. He is the lord of all lords, the prince of all princes. And so I completely forgot what your question was.
You hit it. You nailed it. In the sense of one of the things I think about, too, again, is I know your heart is evangelism. It's to get the gospel out and to use whatever means possible. In that regard, when we think about the deception and we think about Genesis 6 and even the many people that don't see the supernatural nature of the Bible, I mean, we're talking about Bible prophecy. Talk a little bit, we have that in the title here. You have it in the title. Talk a little bit about, if you can, in what, 3 minutes, as it relates to Bible prophecy.
Well, all of this is coming to a head. And I believe that we are living at the end of the age, but not at the very end of the age. We have entered the beginning of the end of the age. And Bible scholars like to call it the end times. It's not the end times. It's the end of the age. There's a difference there. It's not the end of time. It's the end of this particular age, which was inaugurated with the birth of Christ, I believe. And it is the age of Pisces. And it was inaugurated with the birth of Christ, and we could talk for hours about that. All the prophecies pointing to Christ being born in this age. So at the end of this age, we're going to see the rise of the son of perdition. We're going to see, as we were just talking about, a post-human paradigm on planet Earth. And this is all going to culminate in one event, and that event is called Armageddon. And as I always say, Armageddon is not a war with Israel. Armageddon is a war with Christ. Because who returns? Jesus returns with the armies of heaven in his train to do battle with the beast and his inhuman army. And this is not a spiritual battle. This is a kinetic war with the King of Heaven. A kinetic war. That means this is a technological warfare with the King of Heaven. And so I think Armageddon, to some degree, is a cosmic battle. And that's where this is all. That's the culmination of all of this. And, of course, we know that Jesus vanquishes the beast and his armies. And so That's the pinnacle. And, of course, there's prophecies related to what happens after that, but that's really where all of this is, whether you talk about post-humanism, whether you talk about the disclosure of the alien presence and UFOs, all of this, all of the occult stuff happening, the new religion, it's all going to open defiance against the King of Heaven, which means that the nations will acknowledge the existence of the Son of God and will openly oppose him.
Yeah, you see Psalm 2 where they're talking about let us break exactly his bands
right.
on us.
Exactly, right.
But what does God do?
He laughs.
He laughs.
Yet have I put my son, installed my son on the throne. So that's perfect. So I believe that's what Psalm 2 is talking about, is Armageddon.
Yeah, it all matches. And talk a little bit, if you will, because I know you and I have talked about this in the sense of oftentimes we tend to sanitize the Bible. We don't see things as it relates to, again, the supernatural. But even the supernatural nature of the technology of what we would call the other side or the non-human technology.
Yeah, I think because we have to think of this in terms of a kingdom and a civilization. For some reason, we don't. And I had to come to grips with this some years ago. And I asked myself one day, why do I think about what we do on earth as civilization, and this is what we do, but somehow the kingdom of heaven is just different? It's not. This what we have is a shadow. Is a shadow of something else. Something. There's a precursor. There's a prototype to what we do here on earth. And it's just once you begin to extrapolate that out, you realize this is a kingdom. And then once you realize it's a real kingdom, not a metaphorical kingdom, a real kingdom, then you also have to come to terms with the fact that it is a civilization. It is a civilization. And then you keep extrapolating back and you realize that, wait a minute, you read that the Israelites ate the bread of heaven, the grain of heaven. In the wilderness of Sinai, they ate the grain of heaven. So is there sowing and harvesting? Is there making of bread? I mean, and then you can just keep going on and on and on. I think that we are supposed to understand the kingdom of heaven as a civilization in the way that we understand it as human beings. Of course, it's much grander than anything we can comprehend. So what about technology? Do angels use technology? Well, we didn't invent technology. We didn't invent the laws of physics. And we certainly, our knowledge does not supersede the knowledge of these entities that I call the elder race. They were around much longer than we have been. And so whatever we can develop on Earth, whatever kind of technology that we have conceived of, it's already been done, in my opinion.
What's your thoughts on, we think about Genesis 6 and the sons of God coming down and really having a teaching-type ministry of all these forbidden things that we learned about in the book of Enoch. Do you see that happening again as we come towards the final climactic end of the age?
Yeah, I don't. The sharing of knowledge and the I think that is happening to some degree as it pertains to the gray aliens. I think that we do have, as I referenced earlier, the Grieta Treaty, where there may be, and of course nobody knows for sure. This is speculation, but are we? Are we entering? Have we entered into some kind of a Faustian bargain with non-human entities for their technology, and what have we given them in return? And I think that's a extremely relevant question. And as I said before, that's not a far-fetched idea. Many competent ufologists believe that has in fact happened, that we have made contact with non-human entities, and that we have indeed exchanged something in return for technology, for knowledge and technology, which is of course very reminiscent of Genesis 6.
Yeah. As we think about, final question here, as we think about what the Bible says, during the end, there's going to be this great delusion, this great, even an apostasy of those that have professed to follow the faith. Talk a little bit about that.
You know, I look at the word apostasy a little bit different than most people. When I look at, because some people interpret it as a falling away, but the word apostasy is also rendered as rebellion. There's going to be a great rebellion. And if you look at it as a rebellion, you can also interpret it as an insurrection. And so I believe that the great apostasy is, it's not something that happens within the church. It's not just a falling away from the faith. The apostasy is basically giving God the finger, saying, we know you exist. Yeah. What does it say in where is it in the one of the prophecies? It says, we will not have this man rule over us, in reference to Christ. We will not have this man rule over us. It is an act of rebellion, willful rebellion against the kingdom of heaven and its king. That is apostasy. So I believe that, as I said, speaks directly to Armageddon. Mankind, understand this, mankind being goaded and led by non-human entities is going to go to war with the Son of God. Kinetic war. And that's why God laughs. He who sits in the heavens laughs at that prospect.
It goes back to me that the whole idea of you know, Satan promising eternal life. You shall not die in the garden. And here we are full circle where mankind is saying, we'll find eternal life any other way but through him.
That's right. It's a circumvention of the cross of Christ. See, because the gospel of Christ redeems, reconciles, and restores Adam and the offspring of Adam to the family of God. Everything that was lost in Adam is regained in Christ. So, and that means eternal life. That means an immaculate, our genome was, Adam's genome was immaculate. There was not a single mutation in his genome. We're a mess. We are a mess. But Adam was perfect. And so, what do transhumanists want? They want Adam. That's what all these superhero movies and stuff. It's like we're subconsciously longing for Eden. And instead of going through the cross, instead of accepting the free gift of God and the resurrection, which resets us to the blueprint of Adam, transhumanists are seeking to circumvent the cross to get back into the Garden of Eden. And that is an affront to Christ. It's an affront to the King of Heaven and to the sacrifice of Christ. And of course, they're going to fail miserably.
This is just a taste. Thanks, Tim. We're going to bring up Joe.
All right. Thank you, Mondo. Yep. Folks, the Birthright Conference was an extraordinary event. We filmed over 6 hours of content, including presentations from myself, Joe Allen, Gary Haven, and Mancal Muller, covering a variety of topics, such as theological perspectives on angels and how they relate to extraterrestrials, transhumanism and the post-human paradigm, UFOs and alien abduction, and the dehumanization and depopulation agenda of the globalist elite. The conference is now available for purchase in DVD, digital download, and long-term rental formats. Go to birthrightconference.com to secure your copy today.